our freedom is certainly not free. It cost millions of people their lives over the years. And I don't ever want to take for granted what they have done for us. I don't want to take for granted the men and women who are still serving today to protect our freedom. You know, the freedom that we've been given as Americans is not something we should take for granted. And one of the things we don't like to talk about, but we need to understand, is our freedom can be lost. Our freedom can be forfeited. And we have to make sure that we're doing our part each and every day to protect the freedom that God has given us. And to be grateful and thankful for, again, the men and women who died so that you and I can be sitting here today worshiping freely, without fear or threat of someone trying to disrupt it. So I'm thankful for the men and women who paid the ultimate price for you and I to be here today. I hope that you are thankful and that you take time to thank God. You know, as I was at the National Cemetery at Fort Jackson, that's where my dad was buried, I would take time to walk around and look at the different headstones that were there. And many, many of the people were like my dad. They had served and they had died at an old age. But then you would run across those headstones of people that you knew had died in combat. And I would just take time to thank the Lord that they were willing to give. As I looked across that National Cemetery, just taking time to thank all those who have served and continue to serve. So let's make sure we take time to do that, not just on Memorial Day, but each and every day. There's another freedom that you and I have been given that it's not possible for us to lose. And that's why we can gather here today as we think about our freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ Jesus is something that will never be at threat of losing. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, when you choose to submit yourself to His Lordship, to submit to Him as your Savior and Lord, He tells us that we're adopted into His family. And once you're adopted into the family, there's no way that you can be unadopted or kicked out. And we have this freedom that Jesus was willing to pay with his life for us to have. And just like our freedom as Americans, we don't need to take for granted the freedom that we have in Christ. We don't need to neglect the freedom that we have in Christ. Because like our freedom to sit here and worship today and to assemble today cost many, many people the ultimate price, our freedom in Christ cost God the ultimate price, which was the life of His Son. And through the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have freedom. But so many times I think we don't celebrate that freedom. Maybe we don't really acknowledge that freedom. Maybe we don't know how to acknowledge that freedom. But Jesus told those first followers that we read about several weeks ago in Matthew, those fishermen, He said, "Follow me. Follow me." And as we come to this place in our lives, this place in our church, we need to understand that since that first call to follow Him and those first people being obedient to follow, that Jesus has been extending that call to everyone ever since, to follow me. We're going to be focusing on this over the next several months, really probably the rest of our lives, because this is an active call from Jesus for each one of us. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So we have to take it upon ourselves. We have to make the choice. Each person sitting here today has to make that choice. Am I going to follow Jesus? And Jesus promises you that if you choose to follow me, I will make you fishers of men. This is just such a great promise from Jesus. And then, if you fast forward some probably 35 years after the resurrection, Timothy is receiving this letter from his spiritual father, Paul. Now, Paul has answered the call to follow Jesus. Timothy has answered the call to follow Jesus. And so we have this letter from Paul to Timothy. And you can tell in this letter, in 2 Timothy, this great love that Paul has for Timothy. But he also has great challenges for Timothy. And those challenges are for you and me today, if we're going to be the followers of Jesus that God has called us to be. I love these verses we're going to read today because Paul is giving Timothy really some correction, but he's doing it with love. It's almost like a pep talk. And honestly, it's a pep talk that I needed this week. I've needed it for a while. When you read these words, he says in 2 Timothy, starting verse 1, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." So as I'm listening to this and I read this, I think Timothy was having a struggle. I don't know that he was struggling in his faith. Maybe he was struggling in his calling to lead the church. He was young. I love the earlier where Paul tells him, said, "Look, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but be an example." We know Timothy was young. And now Paul is sending him this letter, and he's telling him to be strengthened. Let me ask you this question, because this really, these are messages that we're following here over the next month or two, that these are introspective. These are sermons that require me to think about my walk with the Lord, that require you to think about your walk with the Lord and what you're doing. But have you ever struggled in your faith? You know, where you just don't feel strong in your faith? I have. So if you want to agree with me, you can shake your head. It's something that I have struggled with probably too often. You know, when I think about this letter to Timothy and I think about my role as a pastor, my role as a husband, as a father, my role as a friend, a brother, a child, you know, it can become overwhelming. And there are times when, especially as a pastor, I feel inadequate. I feel like, you know, who am I? You know, that God would call me to lead His church. Because, see, this is His church. You are His people. I am His person. And God has called me to do this. And it's very, very overwhelming. And so I think about Timothy and how he might have been having feelings of inadequacy, feelings of not being prepared, feelings of being overwhelmed. And I like what Paul tells him. And this is an imperative command, but it's given with a loving heart. He says in that first verse, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened. Paul is telling Timothy, look, this is something you need to do. You be strengthened. Be strong in who God has created you to be. Be strong. See, Timothy had no reason for not being strong. If you read back in that first chapter, and Lee finished it last week, you see all of these things that God had given Timothy. He'd given him Paul. He'd given him a godly mother, a godly grandmother. He had put these people around him. So Timothy had no reason for not being strong. But Paul is telling him to be strong. And this strength that Timothy was to have And it's true for you and me today. This strength that we're to have is not a strength that we try to manufacture in ourselves. Where does it say this strength comes from? It's right there. By the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where our strength comes from. Those days when I'm feeling inadequate, those days when I feel like I've somehow been failing you as the church or failing God in my service, you know, those are attacks by Satan, and we've looked at spiritual warfare, but I don't manufacture that strength from in myself. He says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because it's only through grace that I can be His child. It is only through that grace that I can do anything for God. But when I try to do it on my own, that's when I'm going to fail. That's when I'm going to have those feelings of inadequacy or those feelings of being overwhelmed. But when I rely on the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because grace is the only reason you and I can be here today worshiping Him. Grace is what He has given us. So what is grace? It's God's unmerited favor on you. It's the gift of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. It is something that you and I do not deserve, but God freely gave it to us through Jesus. And because He freely gave it, because we have to accept it and depend on it, we can't do anything to earn it or deserve it. It's the grace that strengthens us. So Paul is telling Timothy, he's telling you, he's telling me, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When I feel weak and ineffective, when I feel that I'm not good enough, when I feel that I'm inadequate to do what God's called me to do, I need to read these words and be reminded of these words. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It is a grace that provides strength that I need and that you need to serve Him. Paul is telling us, and again, this is something, this sermon may be only for me today. But he's saying, look, don't dig down deep and try to find this within yourself. This comes through the grace of Jesus Christ. Be strong in what you're doing. If for no other reason than this one verse alone, I'm so thankful that we are at this place in 2 Timothy this week. Because these are words that I need to hear. I believe these are words that each one of us needs to hear today. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's that grace, the same grace that forgives me and makes me holy, that empowers me. It's the same grace that forgave you, that made you holy, that empowers you. So let us embrace that grace. Let us be strengthened by that grace. And please know that for you and I to live in this sphere of grace, we also have to live in obedience. We have to live in obedience to what the Scripture teaches us and how it teaches us to do, to live. So what do you and I do with this grace and strength? So why would he tell Timothy, you know, to be strong? Why would he tell you and me to be strong? Well, that's what I love about the Scripture. All you got to do is go to verse 2 to see. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We do this, we're strong as followers of Christ, so that we can teach people who will teach people. Paul had been taught. Jesus called those first disciples, and they followed him. And Jesus gave those disciples the command to reach and teach. And then when Paul was miraculously saved on the road to Damascus, these disciples helped to teach him. And then he went out preaching, and he was teaching others. And Timothy became a Christian, became a follower of Christ, and Paul has been teaching him. And now he's saying, look, it's your turn. You go out and you teach. You entrust to faithful people the words that you've heard from me. And that's what he's telling you and me today. He's saying, look, you need to be a person who reaches and teaches. Teach teachers who will teach teachers who will be teachers. To use the words that we've been using in this sermon series, be a disciple who makes disciples, who makes disciples. If you've been here for the last several weeks, you know this is the process that God has given us. And just as those first disciples were obedient, just as Paul was obedient, just as Timothy was obedient, you and I have to be obedient. It's our turn now to make disciples who are making disciples. In every generation, God has raised up new links in the Christian, in this living chain of people to pass on the good news of Jesus Christ to the people of their day. Every generation has had people who were willing to do what God told them to do, to be obedient in teaching, to be obedient in reaching. And now it's our turn. Now it's your turn. It's my turn to be obedient, to be a part of that living chain that has gone across the ages of people who are disciples, who are making disciples, who are making disciples. It's your turn. It's my turn. So let me ask you this question. Who are you entrusting the gospel and all other divinely revealed truths to? Who are you personally? Remember, this is introspective. Who are you entrusting with the truths that are found in the Scripture? Who are you walking with? Who are you challenging? Who are you sending letters to, like Paul did to Timothy, saying, be strong, be courageous in the grace of Christ Jesus? See, this is what each one of us is called to do. And it's our turn. You and I must continue growing in our faith, but we also have the responsibility of helping others to get started in their faith and to grow in their faith. I mean, does that make sense? This means yes. This means no. I mean, this is so big. This is something that we don't need to miss. I just believe that over the past several decades, in a lot of ways, the church has missed this. That it is our job to reach and teach. We can't expect people to come and hear. We're to go and tell. As the Great Commission said, as you're living your life, as you're going through your life each and every day, as you're going to work, as you're with your family, as you're with your neighbors, as you're in the grocery store, you are to reach and teach. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. This is huge. This is big. This is what we are called to do. This is what Jesus saved us to do. This is for preachers. This is for teachers. This is for parents. This is for grandparents. This is for all followers of Christ. Reach and teach. Follow me. It's an individual choice that you have to make. Have you made it? In verse 3 and 4, Paul starts using different comparisons for Timothy. And in verse 3 and 4, he says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. You know, as I was reading those words, again, I was thinking about Memorial Day, and I was thinking about those of you who have been soldiers, those who were soldiers who were in the military that didn't come back home. And he's telling us, as God's people, as Christians, he's telling us to be good soldiers. To be dedicated to the fight. What is the fight? It's for souls. It is to carry on the mission that Jesus came to begin for us. It's what he modeled. There's a battle going on. We spent several months going over spiritual warfare and putting on the whole armor of God so that when we go out into this world, we're protected. As we go out into the spiritual warfare, the battles that are around us every single day, that we're protected. And now he's telling us to be a good soldier. What is a good soldier for Christ? A spiritual Christian does not simply do his minimum duty for the Lord. A good soldier serves Jesus with everything that he is and everything that he has. What are the marks of a good soldier? We kind of see this in these two verses. There's a willingness to suffer hardship with other good soldiers, to be selfless in the way that you live your life, that you live your life in a way that's pleasing to Christ. The more faithful that you become as a Christian soldier, the more faithful that you become as a follower of Christ, the more the attacks are going to come. Yeah, we've probably, most of us in here have probably heard the saying kind of similar to this, that if you're not being attacked by Satan, chances are you're not doing anything for God. So as the more committed you become to being that good soldier, that good follower, that godly follower of Christ, the more the attacks are going to come, the more you're going to need your spiritual armor to have protection from the attacks. A soldier is a soldier 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Many of you know, because you've served in the military, that as a soldier, your body is not your own. Your skills, your health, your time, all that you have belongs to the military in which you serve. And that's the way it is when we serve Jesus Christ. Everything that we have, everything that we are, belongs to Him. We give it all to Him. We lay it down at the foot of the cross. And I tell Him everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that I ever hope to be, I put it at the foot of the cross for you. That's what a good soldier for Christ does. A good soldier, he says, does not get entangled in civilian pursuits. A good soldier has a strong desire to please the one who enlisted him. You and I are not to get entangled in the cares of this world. Our main goal, our strongest desire, must be to please the one who enlisted you. Who enlisted you into God's family? Jesus. Your strongest desire, my strongest desire, must be to serve Him. It must be above everything else, so that I'm not entangled in the cares of the world, money or prestige or power. My care, my concern is walking with Jesus. It's serving Jesus. And Paul is saying to Timothy and to you and to me, be strengthened. Be strengthened. Be that strong soldier. Be the one that serves Christ wholeheartedly. In verse 5, he says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Athletes compete and they struggle with determination. I love watching athletic events, especially like the Olympics or different things like that, where you watch people who have sweated, they have toiled, they have worked so hard to be able to get to that event. They have dedicated everything that they are to getting there and to doing their absolute best. And it's with that same determination that you and I are to serve Christ. We're to sweat. We're to toil, to labor. Whatever it takes, we do it because of the one that we are serving. As someone serving Jesus, you have to adhere to certain rules. I just made a list of some of the things. I know a lot of people don't like rules. But if you're going to serve Jesus, the first and foremost thing is you have to be born again. You have to be a follower of Jesus if you're going to serve Him. You must be obedient to what the Scripture teaches. You must be faithful to studying the Scripture and obeying it. You must deny yourself. You must be committed to prayer. You must live according to the divine standards and of fellowship and discipleship that Jesus has set out. And that's what we see here in the Scripture. And then in verse 6, he does the comparison of a farmer. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Like a farmer, we have to be hard-working. A farmer is driven to hard toil and sweat. Why does he do that? It's for the harvest. You know, when that farmer, and I'm not going to pretend to be a farmer because I know some of you are and some of you do things like that, but that you have to see that field. And he has to be willing to go out and sweat and toil in that field to plant the seed, to get rid of the weeds, to do whatever it takes for those plants to grow for the harvest. Because if there's no harvest, his work is in vain. You and I, as followers of Christ, our goal is the harvest. What is the harvest? It's men and women and boys and girls who are close to us, but far from Jesus. It's the people who are driving by. How many thousands have driven by, even as we've been in here this morning? That's the harvest. And Jesus says you're to go out into the harvest and work and sweat and toil and do whatever it takes to reach men and women and boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling us to do. And then the last verse, verse 7. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. I love this promise because as you read these first six verses, you know, you sit there and go, well, I wonder how that applies to me. You know, I don't know about being a soldier. I don't know about being a teacher. I don't know about being a farmer or an athlete. Jesus tells us, Paul is telling Timothy in these verses, he's telling you and me, think these things over. Ponder these things. Think on these things. Look at your own life and ask the questions. Ask this question. Are you a strong follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a mature Christian? Are you devoting yourself to the study and obedience to the Bible? Are you guarding and teaching God's Word, the Bible? Do you deny yourself and count your life as nothing in order to faithfully serve Jesus Christ? Do you keep a safe distance between yourself and the affairs of this world? Do you continually prepare yourself to serve your Master? Do you understand self-denial and self-sacrifice? Are you willing to pay the price that he demands? See, those are some of the questions that I see from these verses. That as you're choosing to become and be a follower of Jesus Christ, it takes an investment on your part. Can you buy salvation? No. Do you deserve it? No. Can you earn it? No. What we're talking about is what you do in response to your salvation. How you serve the one who enlisted you, which is Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy today. That is what he's telling us today. And I love this promise. I'm going to read verse 7 again. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So you may not have understood a word I said today. You may not have understood what the point of this message was. But the promise that Paul gave to Timothy, he gives to you and he gives to me. Think over these things. Ponder these things. Mull over these things. And God will make it clear to you. Let's pray about this. Father, as we think about these words, as we ponder what Paul wrote to Timothy and we see how it applies to each one of us today, I claim the promise here that if we will make the commitment to think these things over, if we'll make the commitment to consider what you're saying to us today, that you will make it clear to us. Father, I know that even yesterday you made the first part of this verse so clear to me. That I don't need to be trying to do things in my own strength and my own power, but it's only in the grace of Jesus Christ that I can find strength. And I pray that today, each one of us in this room would understand that. That you would make it clear to us what it means to be your follower. Father, I pray that as we have our time of response, that You would just make it clear to us, to each individual here, make it clear what it is that You're leading us to do today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.